Soul Brother Number One was a nickname given to James Brown, the godfather of soul.
Listen up. We interrupt all breaking news.
Soul Brother Number One is also the name of a new album from the Reverend Sean Amos, and it captures some of that James Brown spirit, especially in the title track. Can't see it, but I'm dancing right now. The new Soul Brother is here to talk to us about that album. Reverend Sean Amos, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Now, it is a nervy move, to put it lightly, comparing yourself to James Brown like that. What was the thinking?
Yeah, it wasn't the intention, to be honest with you. I don't think anyone could ever compare to James Brown. There's only one. It was really my desire to reclaim some of my identity, and it was an invitation to others to reclaim their own. I think we all can be our own personal soul brother number one or soul sister number one.
On this album, your music spans so many genres. There's funk and soul, but there's also rock and some slow blues and gospel. Is there any one of those genres where you feel the most comfortable?
You know, I've been a blues singer for, over the last decade, and so that's home for me for sure. And one of the concerns I had coming into it was, can I transition from being a pretty good blues singer to being, a pretty good soul singer? And that was a stretch for me, but in the best way. I tell everyone it's an album built on a blues foundation, but there's this funk soul house built on top of it.
Well, speaking of the many genres on this album, let's hear a clip from Back to the Beginning, which features the gospel-singing McCrary sisters.
Time is all that we have.
All we have, yeah,
yeah. Time is all that we share.
You have several collaborators on this album besides them. How do you decide who to collaborate with?
Part of it is a wish list, like who have I always wanted to be in the studio with? And I'm always amazed that people just want to work. Every time I make a call to someone, I'm a little afraid and thinking, they would never want to work with me. Steve Ferroni was Tom Petty's drummer in the Heartbreakers for the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
He plays drums on the album. I was completely just mortified to call him. And he's like, yeah, I'm in. And I just have this dream list of people I think will get it. Who would I want to hear? Who's going to be fun to collaborate with and take it to another level? I mean, the recordings last forever. And so when you're making something that's going to be around longer than you are, you just want to make sure you've given it your best shot.
I want to get to your name. You're not just Sean Amos, you're the Reverend Sean Amos. Do you preach when you're not singing?
The is the most important part of that.
Of course.
The article is the most important. People bill me as Reverend Sean Amos. I'm like, no, the.
Definite article. Come on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I am a reverend through the magic of the internet and Universal Life Church.
Oh, okay.
I preach from the stage. It's funny, I was given that title. I played my first blues shows in Italy, close to 13 years ago now. And after the gigs, the audience was chanting, El Reverendo, El Reverendo. And I turned to my friend who invited me there to play. I said, what are they saying? They're calling you Reverend. So I figured if a bunch of Italian Catholics can bestow me with the title of Reverend, then I should keep it.
You and never so let go of that kind of nickname, no.
I came back and I've never let it go.
Last night past the curfew by the monument, made the news, said it's all about the money, what it is the debt gone too long unpaid, what it is to be black, what it is to be always amazed at the lack.
One thread you bring into your songs on this album is race. You have a song called What It Is to Be Black, which is pretty introspective soul song, and then you have a funkier, I think more aggressive one called Don't Call Me N-Word Whitey. And I'm curious, how do those songs fit together in your mind?
So the Don't Call Me N-Word Whitey is a Sly Stone cover, Sly and the Family Stone cover, that I used to play live years ago. And I actually do it as a sing-along. I'd say,
nice.
Don't call me, Whitey. And the whole audience would sing Whitey without any problem at all. And I'd flip it and no one would sing the other one. I think that song is, it's one of the most succinct and clear examples or calls for empathy on both sides. I mean, we all just want to be seen.
Yeah, we all will be free when we take things seriously.
And then What It Is to Be Black, they're sister songs in a way. I've gone through such an evolution of defining my own blackness and my own identity, and I am in the middle of a journey that I think is hopefully metaphorical for anyone who's going through any kind of journey to figure out who the heck they are.
You've talked about figuring out the evolution of your blackness. You've also talked about finding your identity. Tell me more about that. What did that look like when you were recording this record?
Yeah, it actually started before I recorded the record. I wrote a semi-autobiographical young adult book called Cookies and Milk, and it was the first chance I really thought about growing up in the 70s, growing up in Hollywood, growing up in a world where I was the only black kid around in an age that predates the internet, so it was very difficult to find clues to who I was. And so coming out of that book, I was just stuck in that headspace. One, I was stuck in the music of the 70s, which I sort of had rediscovered through writing the book. And I was also realizing how much I'd been cut off from a lot of my own history and identity. And I wanted to explore that more. And so the album is me sort of continuing that journey.
This is such a warm and optimistic record in a lot of ways.
Thanks.
It's
Thank you.
I mean, it ends with a track called Things Will Be Fine. Is that just how you generally feel about the world?
Well, that lyric is Things Will Be Fine, ellipses, if we let it.
Sure.
And that's the whole vibe of the album. It's this idea of being prideful, being optimistic, but not without accountability and not without responsibility. And I think things will be fine if we make some choices to do that.
Things will be fine if we just let it.
Now I'm thinking what them fools do. They say we don't have the words quite yet, but we're gonna think of something soon.
We all have this choice between love and fear, and we've been choosing fear a lot lately, and I would love us to choose love, and I think that we need more reminders of the power of that, and this is my small offering.
That was the Reverend Sean Amos talking to us about his record, Soul Brother No. 1. Sean, thank you so much.
Oh, thanks so much, Danielle. Be well.